We're studying in the book of Romans, and this morning we want to continue our study in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read Romans 8, verses 16 through 18, and then pick up our thoughts on the heirs of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not equal or not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There seems to be in our day extremes of just thinking about that. When I think about the study of the Scriptures, God brings a child or brings a person into the family, his family, and he knows that he needs to feed you and me because we belong to him. And we know that Paul told Timothy that if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel and you have denied the faith. And I assure you that our God is not going to be worse than, and not going to be an infidel, and he's not going to deny the faith. He's going to take care of us. Now, our quality of care may not be what we expect, but he will care for us. And then when the trials and testings get beyond measure, you know what kicks in? His grace. It's the grace of God that gives us the power to be sustained in difficult times. And we all have difficulties, and so therefore we need to experience the throne of grace, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the disseminator of that grace and power that we need to be an overcomer. Before grace can be our portion, we must have mercy. And what does that mean? I believe that having mercy for God, in other words, when we come to the throne of grace, we're coming there to obtain mercy and find grace. To obtain mercy means that we need to confess sin. If you're living in sin, God's not going to give you His power to continue to live in sin. And so therefore we need to have mercy. You know when the publican said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner," he was not trying to get saved. He was a Jew wanting cleansed. He was in the temple and he was invoking the blood on the mercy seat in the temple for cleansing. And we need to have the same thing. We need to be clean. We need to be pure. And so therefore we come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, cleansing, forgiveness, deliverance from the bondage of sin, so we can have His grace to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Without grace of God, we can't serve Him. So if we are a child of God, we're an heir. Now, through the study of the Scriptures, we find that an heir has an inheritance. And not all of God's children have the same inheritance. If you're a firstborn, and you read the Old Testament, the firstborn got a double portion. In other words, if a man had two sons, I'm not sure about the daughters, but anyway, if a man had two sons, he would divide his wealth up into three portions. And the firstborn would get twice as much as the secondborn. So the inheritance was not equal. And the same is today. We're a child of God, and we will not all share equal inheritances. We just got through reading that if we are a child of God, we're an heir of God. But being a joint heir with Christ is a different level of an inheritance than being just a child. And God has that privilege. In other words, that's the way He set it up. But anyway, when we think about being God having children, He's going to have food for them. This book, the Bible, is milk. This is milk. And in this milk is butterfat. And so what does God expect us to do as His children? Well, at the beginning, we're going to be drinking milk. Because why? We're babes. Babes in the Lord. And we need pre-digested food, because that's what milk is. It's pre-digested food. But God wants us to quit drinking or feeding on pre-digested food and start getting on the solid food and the meat of the Word. That means it's something that you need to do. Now, Jesus Christ, this is just an introduction. I'm kind of filling in the blanks here a little bit. The milk of the Word, but you know what? Inside the milk of the Word is the butter fat. And there's an interesting passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 7, which talks about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that His name would be Emmanuel. And in verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." But you know what? It gives us His diet. And it is significant for us to know what the diet is. "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." Butter and honey. Well, how do you get butter? Well, some of you have lived on a farm and or close to a farm. Do you churn milk to get butter? No. You churn what? Cream. But you know what? There's no cream here. And so therefore, to get butter out of this, you have to work hard. It takes a long time to get the butter out of it. But you know what? You need the butter and the honey to know how to make good decisions, good choices. The Lord did, to refuse the evil and to choose the good. And so therefore, when we all start, when we all are born into the family of God, we need milk. Now, what is milk? Now, that's what I wanted to dwell on a little bit this morning, is the milk of the Word and the significance of the milk. Because if you are feed on the milk, you're going to become just. What does it mean to become just? It means that you're being obedient to the moral law. Obviously, we are not obedient to, or we don't have to be obedient to the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law and the ordinances of the nation of Israel were nailed to Jesus Christ's cross. But you know what? The moral law has never been canceled. You cannot live in adultery and expect to receive the grace of God. Did you know that? You live in adultery, you're living in sin. So the milk of the Word teaches us to be just. And why is that important? Did you know the Scriptures also says it's the just that do what? Live by faith. You can't live by faith if you're not just. So as a child of God, you need to learn how to become just. And if you learn how to become just by feeding on the milk, then you are prepared to live by faith. When I think about the children of Israel who came out of Egypt, they wandered in the desert. Not a fun place to be. Scorpions, dry, thirsty, no water, little firewood. But you know, it was a place that was good for cattle, because that's when Reuben and Gad saw the land east of the east of the Jordan River was good for cattle. They said, This is where we want our inheritance to be. But you know what? West of the Jordan River was a land flowing with what? Milk and what? Honey. East of the Jordan River, there's only milk. West of the Jordan River, there was milk and honey. You could churn the milk and get the butter, and the honey would be there for you, and you could live by faith. In fact, it wasn't until the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River that a next act of faith happened. Did you know that? You read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "And by faith they crossed the Red Sea." The next act of faith was when? When they defeated Jericho. No faith in between. They were all living on milk. No faith. They weren't ready for faith. Why? Because they were not just. Most of them, in fact, all the moms and dads perished in the wilderness. Even Moses perished in the wilderness. So when I look at the Old Testament types and pictures, by leaving Egypt, they escaped the world. In the wilderness, they dealt with what? The flesh. What did they deal with in the nation? What did they deal with in the land? Who were they fighting? The devil. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. And of course, we don't fight flesh and blood today, but in type and in picture, that's what they were doing in the land. I mean, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Their warfare was with the devil. And so, therefore, milk is essential, but we need to appreciate the fact that if you never get off of milk, that's not all bad. Did you know that? If you never get off of the milk, it's not all bad. If you never start living by faith. In other words, living by faith means really pleasing the Lord. Remember that Lot was just. Remember that? Just Lot. Lot had two children, didn't he? Not a very good way to have kids, but anyway, he had two children, Ammon and Moab. Did you know that both of them had an inheritance east of the Jordan River? Lot had a double portion inheritance. Not in the land flowing with milk and honey, but in the land of scorpions, wilderness, they called it the wilderness. So it's not all bad to be just. It's bad to be unjust, being a child of God. And we'll see that in just a moment. Now, in 2 Corinthians, looking at our notes, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, to become part of the family of God, it tells us that Christ died for all, then we're all dead. When I was thinking about extremes. There's some people that think that only the elect will be saved. They just create confusion, confound it, because you know why? Jesus Christ died for everybody. Any and everybody that can come to a conscience of sin and can be saved. We're living in days of extreme. There are people that today think that this book is only milk and no meat. This book only contains salvation verses, how to get saved, over and over and over again. They keep applying salvation, salvation, salvation. I had a fellow that was writing me on the internet, and he was talking to me about baptism, and I just simply had to tell him that there's more than one salvation. There's a common salvation, and there's a so great salvation. The common salvation is the salvation that all of us have when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. The so great salvation has to do with His coming kingdom. Not all of Christ's kids are going to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom, because not all of us will become overcomers. And it takes the meat of the Word, the butter and the honey, to be an overcomer. Okay? So we're living in the days of extremes. There's some people that even teach that this is all butter. You know what that means? You don't have to churn it. You don't have to be exercised by it. It's just all butter. In other words, there's nothing in here for a child of God that isn't called unto His kingdom and glory. But that's extreme. So all can become children of God. When Jesus Christ said it is finished, there wasn't a thing left to do as far as the salvation of mankind is concerned. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to the right hand of the Father is not for the lost. It's for the saved. It's not for the lost. It's for the saved. Remember what the angel told the ladies that came to the tomb? You go tell the disciples that Jesus Christ is risen. It's a message to disciples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, Paul mentions the fact, the message to the unsaved. And I, brethren, when I came to you, that is, before they became brethren, they became brethren when they were seeking to do the will of the Father. Did you know that that makes you a brother? When you are seeking to do the will of the Father, you are my brother. That's what Jesus told those that were, saying, hey, your mom and dad and your brothers want to talk to you. And Jesus says, my brother is one who seeks to do the will of the Father. And there are a lot of God's kids that are not even interested in knowing what the will of the Father is because they don't open this book. This book has the will of the Father in it. It takes some time to get it, but it's there. And if you are interested in doing the will of the Father, you're going to hear what the Father told His Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Because Jesus was doing the will of His Father. Now, when I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's all He preached. He did not preach anything about the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priestly office being after the order of Melchizedek. What people that are not saved need is to know that Jesus Christ died for them. I had a young lady that is planning on getting married, and she wanted to know if I had classes on premarital, for premarital couples. And I said, well, right now I don't have one. No one is getting married in our midst. But the thing that she was a Catholic, and I don't think he was anything. And I was trying to tell her, I said, you can go over to one of the Christian bookstores and get a book on premarital counseling, and you get him a book and you have a book and you fill in all the blanks and then you get together and you talk about them. And that's really what premarital counseling is all about. It forces couples to consider what the opposite partner needs. Men don't always know what a woman needs. And a woman doesn't always know what a man needs. I mean, women don't understand what it means to check the oil. Now, there are some that do, but, they don't know what it means to check the oil and this, the technical things. And I just, but anyway, but one of the things that I shared with her is that I said, the first thing you need to do is make sure you're saved. And I said, there's only one place in the Bible where saved is in the question and saved is in the answer. I'm so thankful for that. The Philippian jailer, who knew he was going to die and he wasn't ready for eternity, went to Paul and Silas and says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. Simple. Now he explained to him, I believe later on when he was teaching him the Word of God, that he believed that Jesus Christ died for his sins on the cross. And he would be saved. And it's also very important to note that the tense of the verb believe in that passage of Scripture in Acts 16, 30 and 31 is aorist. And the significance of that is this. When you graph the aorist tense, you graph it with a dot. If it had been in the present tense, and you graph the present tense with a line. And if Paul had used the present tense of the verb there, he would have told the Philippian jailer, as long as you believed, you'd be saved. But when you quit, you'd be lost. That's not what he did. That's the reason why we like grammar here. Grammar teaches us exactly what God meant when he said believe. Dot. On the Lord Jesus Christ, saved. No holding on, no praying through, etc., etc. And I also told her this. I says, you can't get saved if you don't know you're not saved. The fifth jailer knew he wasn't saved. So he needed to know how to get saved, and he asked the right person how to be saved. I told her, I says, it would be just like me running down here on Johnson Street and flagging a car down and telling the driver, I says, you need to take a right-hand turn down here on 18th Street. I'm sure he would look at me like I was some sort of a nut. I'm not taking a right on 18th Street. I'm taking a left on 18th Street. No. It's only people who don't know which way to turn ask the directions. And that's the neat thing about before you can be saved, need to know that you're not. Okay? Now, so we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the verses here for us, Acts 16, 30 and 31. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And of course, in John 3, 3, it says, except a man be born from above, the word again is should be translated from above, he cannot see the kingdom. And I highlighted the word see because there's a difference between seeing the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God. Did you know that? There's a difference between seeing and entering. If you do the will of the Father, you will enter the kingdom. If you just get saved and that's it, fire insurance, so to speak, quote unquote, you'll see the kingdom, but you won't enter it. Now, what is the difference between seeing and entering? Well, we know that we've been having an NFL draft and we've been talking about football teams. And you know what? I didn't see my name on the draft list at all. But I can go see a Viking game, but I can't enter the Viking game. You know why? I'm not qualified. Same thing about the administration of our president. I haven't gotten a call from him. He doesn't need my help. He doesn't want to put me in a cabinet position. You know why? I'm not qualified. You know, when it comes to the Lord's kingdom, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is going to put into His kingdom, His administration of kings and lords to help Him to rule and reign over the earth. That's the difference between seeing and entering the kingdom. I want to enter the kingdom because I want to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. I want the honor and the glory that goes with that. You know what? I'm going to show Him that He can trust me with that responsibility in that day because I'm going to be faithful to Him over a few things today. That's the scope of what's going on in my life and in your life. How faithful are you over what God has given you to do? Is it big or is it little? And I think that being little is a plus. Because Jesus told His disciples, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I like that for obvious reasons. But anyway, now, we become part of the family by believing on the Lord. Now, there is milk. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you were not able, or were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." In other words, they didn't have the basics. Did you know that it takes the basics first to understand the meat, the more difficult? I have my degrees in mathematics, and you know what? If I didn't know 2 + 2 = 4, I sure wouldn't have gotten a degree in math. I guarantee you, the basics had to be there. And the same thing about growth. You need basic material because it's line upon line. That's what it says in Isaiah. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. Not in globs, but in little. That's how you grow. A little at a time. It takes a long time to grow. So, the disciples, they need to be fed with milk. They need the basics. And the reason they need them is because they're carnal. They're living in the flesh. They're living in me, my, and mine. And don't bother me. Just give me mine, my stuff. They want to satisfy the feeling. They want the feeling. People who are into the feeling are carnal. If you've got to have a feeling, I would say that you're, you know, I'm not against feelings, okay? Because I get them. But I'm not doing what I'm doing primarily to get them. I'm willing to live whether I have a feeling, trust God and live for the Lord, whether I get a feeling or not. Okay? That honors the Lord. If the Lord sees you and if you're expecting to get, you know, zapped or something, external, then I can see where the Lord would say, you know, you're not living by faith, because when you're living by faith, you're not looking for feelings. Okay, now let's go on. So they were carnal, and so he fed them with milk. Now 1 Peter 2:1-2, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice," malice is extreme ill will, "and all guile," that's cunning deceit, "and hypocrisy," acting, that's what hypocrisy is. Actors are hypocrites. Did you know that? and we do that a lot today. But anyway, hypocrites. "And envies," that has to do with pride and ambition and evil speaking. We need to lay aside these things. That's what a babe needs to learn to do, is to quit doing these things that are not honoring to the Lord. And it says in verse 2, "As newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." You're a babe in Christ, you need to long for. That's what the desire is. So you need to long for the pure milk. And you know what it means to get the pure milk? It means to lay aside what? Every preconceived idea that you've been taught apart from this book. Did you know that preconceived ideas hinder you from getting the truth out of the book? Preconceived ideas. I struggle with them today from what I was taught when I went to a Bible college. I went to a Christian college. I got my degree in math and a minor in Bible with Greek along with it. But you know, it was preconceived ideas that I was taught when I was in school. They flare up every now and then. And so therefore we need the unadulterated milk of the Word. That's what a babe needs to grow thereby. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing." Babes are dull of hearing. Babes, they don't understand things because they don't have the experience that they need. And so therefore they're dull of hearing. In verse 12, it says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." In other words, you need the basics. And one of the things that you see in this verse that we just read is the word again. It's a shame when a person doesn't continue to review the basics that they have to be taught over and over and over again. Scripture memorization is very helpful to keep from having to go through Bible 101 every year, if you understand what I'm saying. You need to go on to a better or more a more advanced class, so to speak. "And it's become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." A babe is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness, I believe here, is the word of how to please God, right living. The word of righteousness has to do with right living. If you didn't know that you weren't supposed to lie, and you're still a babe, then you know what? Children lie all the time, don't they? And they don't want to get a spanking. Oh, they don't want to get scolded. Maybe I shouldn't use that term. That's not politically correct. But anyway, they don't want to get disciplined, so they lie. And we do the same thing. We're unskillful in the word of righteousness, so therefore we need to be corrected again in our doctrinal thinking. Hebrews 6:1 continues, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," the exhortation is get off the milk. Let's go on to perfection. Now, this is not sinless perfection. This has to do with maturity. When you get off of milk, you become mature. And you move on to the meat, not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works. And you know what? Babes live in dead works. They produce wood, hay, and stubble. And wood, hay, and stubble burn. Kindling fuel. And you know what? If all you have is wood, hay, and stubble, and it burns, you're not going to be too happy with what your life produced, if that's all it produces. But anyway, dead works. And of faith toward God. Rather than faith, this, I believe, could be translated fidelity or being faithful toward God. Because that's what babes need to learn to do. They need to learn to be faithful to the Lord. And babes aren't living by faith yet. That's why I think that the way this word faith should be translated is fidelity or being faithful toward God. Now, carnal mind, we are taught in Romans 8, is enmity against God. Romans 8:7-8. "Because the carnal mind is enmity toward God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." You're carnally minded? What the Lord wants you to do is a joke. That's what it amounts to. God wants you to do it, and you don't like it. What do? You become lawless. Did you know that lawlessness abounds today? People don't like the law. What do? They do whatever they want to do. That's law. You know, children of God do the same thing. They don't like it. They can work it out so that they can justify it. People are constantly justifying their behavior, even though it's directly against the Lord's command. So, let us go on to maturity and quit being of a carnal mind, because it's enmity toward God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know what that means? For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You live in the flesh, you're not living by faith. You're not pleasing God. And you can't do it. You live in the flesh, you can't please God. And if we're living in the flesh, it will affect our inheritance, which I think we will see as we move along here briskly. Babes need the word. John 8:30-32. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what a disciple is? It's one who is continuing in the word. You can be saved and not a disciple, because a disciple is one who continues in the word. A disciple is one who longs for the sincere word, sincere milk of the word, and even the meat, in the meat of the word. In Colossians 3:20, I put this one in here. It says, children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know who our Heavenly Father is, don't you? That means we need to obey Him. I wanted to put that in there for that to be emphasized. He is well-pleased if we will obey Him. In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, this is talking about Elizabeth and Zacharias, parents of John the Baptist. It says that they were both righteous or just before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances, or better translated, righteous acts of the Lord, blameless. Why were they just? Because they were obeying His commandments and doing those things that were pleasing to Him. They were righteous acts. Of course, in their day, this had to do with the ceremonial law. In other words, Zacharias was in the temple. He was taking care of the things of the temple. But anyway, they were just before God. And the just need no repentance. Luke 5:32. I came not to call the just, but sinners to repentance. To change. I'm persuaded that Jesus Christ did not come to a nation of lost people. He came to His own people. And He wanted His own people to change. You don't really find the plan of salvation in the Gospels. You find Jesus Christ ministering to save Jews. For what reason? So that they would live in such a way that they could enter the kingdom, because that's what He was offering them. And they weren't willing to produce the fruits thereof. So He took them away from the nation of Israel, and He gave it to Gentiles who will produce the fruits thereof. Fruitful, a life of bearing fruit. So He came to, not to call just people to change, but sinners. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, it says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And this is talking about the moral law, not the ceremonial law, okay? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a just man. You know, if I look at the sign and it says 30, and I'm driving 29, the law doesn't mean a thing to me. You know why? Because I'm within the law. And if you're living a just life, the law's not for you, because you're already within the law. You are being just. You're being obedient. It's when you get outside the law, you better watch out. The fact of the matter, I found a site on the webpage, speed traps. People looking for places where the law is trying to get you so they can make some money. And you know what? I checked on Minnesota and Minneapolis, and there are places, and they tell you where to look for a policeman that will be parked, you know, and stuff like that. Well, anyway, the law is not made for the just, but for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for the unholy and profane, or the irreverent, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. I don't look at this as literal. It's just simply meaning disrespectful to parents. You murder your dad and you murder your mother. That's pretty gross, or, you know, extreme. But you can disobey your parents. I can relate to that better than trying to murder my mother or dad. And so What we need to be doing is respecting authority in the family for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. That is willfully lying under oath. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, that's what the moral law is for. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, we find the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are the works of the carnal. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance or discord, emulations, that is rivalry, wrath, that's uncontrolled anger, strife, seditions, heresies, and envyings, being jealous, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. That doesn't mean if you do those things that you're lost. It just means that you're going to have a lesser inheritance. You're not going to rule and reign with Christ because you were disobedient now and you lived according to the flesh. Now, I included Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, this is like a preacher and saying finally, and then a half hour later he finished, he quits. No. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. How important is butter? Very important. We will judge our ability to choose between the good and the evil. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 25. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Our inheritance is based upon service. It's a reward for your faithfulness in doing the will of God for your life. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respect of person. None. You will receive for it. So what should we be doing? We should be looking to ourselves. Self-examination. Why? So that we won't lose the things that we have gained. 2 John 8. But that we receive a full reward. Did you know you can gain rewards and lose them? You can gain gold and silver and precious stones, and you can withdraw gold and silver and precious stones. How? By turning away from the Lord, living for yourself, going back into carnality. You can lose rewards that you have gained by faithful living. That's why it's so important for us to endure to the end. Those who endure to the end will be what? Saved. And that salvation is not the common salvation, but the so great salvation. That's what that's talking about. Now, the just are rewarded. If all you are is just, and you never advance into living by faith, that's not all bad. Because the just do have rewards. Okay? If you're not living in carnality, you will be rewarded. And I included Matthew 10:41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Prophets are going to be rewarded for their ministry. And he that receiveth a righteous man, and the word righteous here is a just man, in the name of a just man, shall receive a just man's reward. And in Matthew chapter 13:34, it says, then shall the just shine forth as a son in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So if you're just, your day of honor and glory is going to come. It may not be the same honor and glory of one who lives by faith. Okay? And I want to go into that next Sunday, Lord willing. I want to get into the butter and the meat of the Word, Lord willing, next Sunday. Because one of the things that you find out in Hebrews chapter 6, going on to maturity is something that can happen only if God permits it.